of Tumah V'Tahara. He's testing their knowledge of the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. And we learned yesterday the parish of the Mitzudah Stavid. We learned that according to him, the question was a test of do they know the laws of a Shlishi and the laws of a Revi'i. Okay, now we're going to do the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give us much more background, and that'll be the best thing to do. And then with this background, we'll be able to come back and understand it much better. So let's just right away go to the Gemara. That'll be the best thing. It's a very long Gemara. Today, we'll do the best that we can. I'm going to put it on the screen. Okay, I'm going to put it.
Okay, so where are we at now?
Reb Michal is here. I'm talking to Reb Michal behind me. We're in Chagai, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel.
In the
Likutei Shas on page 700. If you have Halavai, you should all have before you the Art School edition. In the Art School edition, it's on page 700. I'm putting it on the screen right now. What we're going to learn. Yeah, it's one Gemara. It's one massive Gemara, okay? So here, let's try to go through the Gemara the best that we can. Hein yisa ish b'sar kodesh b'chadaf b'gdoi v'naga b'chadafai el halecha v'il hanozid v'il hayayin v'il hashemen v'il kol hamachal hayikdosh v'yanu ha-kohanim v'yomru lo. They got the wrong answer. The answer is we were mistaken. Here we go. So here comes the Gemara. Hey, this is the Gemara Masech Pesachim. Masechta Pesachim, daf, I think daf Yud Gimel. Okay, this is the Gemara Masechta Pesachim.
I think it says on the bottom Tezayin, no?
Tezayin, okay. Tezayin, yeah. Pesachim, Tezayin, Yezayin. Here we go. Hey, Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzredok, Al Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya Shebe Ezra's Beis Hamikdash Dochon Shein Tohoirim She'ena Mekabelim Tumah. Now this means as follows: is a Takanas Chazal. The Takkan of Chazal is that water, liquid, automatically upgrades any object that is tummy to a Rishon. In other words, ordinarily in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, the rules are that you go down, you don't go up. That's not always true, but generally, if something, you start with the Avi Avos, and and whatever touches the Avi Avos is an Av, and then comes a Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, and maybe even a Chamishi. You don't go up. There's no such thing as something touching a Sheni, and instead of it becoming a Shlishi, it becomes a Rishon. There is one exception, and that is water. Mayim, because Mayim is unique, Chazal made a Takonas Chazal. This is a Din D'Rabbanan. This is not a Din D'Oraisa. That water goes up. Water that comes in contact with the sheni becomes a rishon. Why? The general reason why that's true is in order not to confuse different types of liquids. What do we mean by that? A zav, a zava, a nida, a yoledes, their mashke, their liquid is an avatuma. What do we mean by that? It means their urine, their roik, their spit, any bodily fluids. I'm not exactly sure what's included in that category, but certainly urine and roik has the din of an av hatoma. It's an extension of the zav, the zava, the yoledes, the someone whose tummy, their liquids have the same status as themselves, so it's an av hatoma. Ordinarily, liquids are usually they would ordinarily be a shlishi, right? If a sheni, let's say it's a sheni, let's say you have a rishon, and a rishon, a solid food that's a rishon touches a liquid. So what happens? What happens to the liquid? The liquid would become a sheni. So people, they're going to make a mistake. They're going to say just like this liquid is a sheni, so too the roik, the spittle of a zav, is also a sheni. In order that a person should be aware that there are different types of liquids, there's the liquid of a zav, a zava, which are an av hatuma, and then there are liquids which are ordinary liquids which have just come in contact with a food which are really truly a sheni or shlishi. Okay, the picture came off the screen for some reason. So in order that Chazal should differentiate, in order that people should not make this mistake, they made a gezera that liquids become a rishon. So once a person is aware that a liquid is a rishon, it changes the dynamics. People right away know, people know that they're reminded that not all liquids are the same. That's the general reason why there is such a takana in Chazal that a liquid that comes in contact with a sheni, even though it should be a shlishi, or a liquid that comes in contact with a rishon that should be a sheni, Chazal upgraded and made it into a rishon in order to serve as a reminder to the average person that liquids are different. And you have to be very careful when you deal with a liquid. Is this liquid a liquid that came from the body of an av hatuma, which would then mean that it also has the status of an av hatuma? Or is this liquid an ordinary liquid? It's tap water, which happened to come in contact with a food, which makes it into a sheni, shlishi, rishon, and it's not an av hatuma. By requiring, making it that every single liquid, no matter what, is a rishon, not an av. Not an av. They didn't make it into an av hatuma. They didn't make it because what they want to remind you of is the liquid that's an av hatuma. It was enough to make the liquid into a rishon to serve as a reminder that not all liquids are the same. Okay, that's the general rule. So here comes the question: what about in the Beis Hamikdash? Let's say you're in the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash, of course, everything there has to be super duper tahar because you're bringing korbanos and they're extremely nizer in the laws of tumah tahara. And it could happen in the Beis Hamikdash that something becomes tameh. If something becomes tameh in the Beis Hamikdash, it's a big emergency. You have to call in a special crew, a special, you know, like you got to call like the astronauts to come in with all of their, with all of their gear, because when something becomes tameh in the Beis Hamikdash, since all over the place, wherever you turn, wherever you turn, they're holy matters. Even the Caleb of the Beis Hamikdash, the menorah, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, it's movable. The Shulchan, the Lechem HaPanim, there are Menachos, there are Kabanas. Wherever you turn, there are holy items, items that are Kodesh. The Paroiches, okay, the curtains, clothing of the Kohanim, wherever you blink, there are holy items. Well, there's a lot of activity. We don't really appreciate how much activity took place in the Beis HaMikdash. And if there's tumah, there's a great danger, it's going to spread, and everything before you blink is going to become tameh. So you got to be super duper careful. So here's the question. The question is, in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a general rule in the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal did not enact every takana that they made for Klal Yisrael out in the world, in Yerushalayim, out in the Eretz Yisrael, in the world, was not necessarily enacted inside the Beis HaMikdash. The rules of halacha, of dinei derabanan in the Beis HaMikdash were different. It's a mistake, it's a terrible mistake to say that there's no such thing as a derabanan in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not true at all. There are many dinei derabanan in the Beis HaMikdash, but there is a principle of ein goizrim shavus ba-mikdash. They did not enact a shavus. A shavus is a certain type of din derabanan. It does not include every din derabanan, but a certain type of dinei derabanan were not enacted in the Beis HaMikdash itself because it was not necessary. Why not? Because of the principle of Kohanim Zrizim. The Kohanim are meticulous, they do everything correctly, they do everything diligently, and they make sure that there's no need to make special takanas, but only in the category of shavus. What is that category? I don't know myself. That's a different topic. That's a very big topic of discussion. What is included in shavus that they did not enact in the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, this thing keeps on coming off of the screen. Wait a moment. Now, here's a dilemma of the Gemara. The dilemma of the Gemara is we have here a takana d'rabbanan that if water comes in contact with tumah, the water automatically becomes a rishon. did Chazal enact that takana in the Beis Hamikdash? If they have tap water, Mestama they did. I mean, I don't know what's going to be in the Bayis Shlishi. In the Bayis Shlishi, is there going to be plumbing in the Beis Hamikdash? Or people are going to be drawing buckets of water from the Shiloya? How are they going to, you know, you need a lot of water. You need a lot of water in the Beis Hamikdash to clean the korbanos, to clean the animals, to clean the floor, to clean everything. Water was vital. So when they build the Bayis Shlishi, will there be modern plumbing? Or are they going to do the old-fashioned way of draw water from a well? I wonder. I have no doubt in my mind that it will be something to fight about. There will be people that will say, tradition. If the Zayde, he went and he pulled, he got the water from a bucket and the well and had to go break his back. So that's how we should do it today when we have a Beis HaMikdash. Tradition. And you'll have all the mikubalim that will tell you all of the, when you go and you draw the water from the well, you say al shem yichud, and you're being malad the nitzaitzes of kedusha, chadosh, awesome and atayra. I have no doubt in my mind that you will have plenty of people when they build the Bayis Shlishi very, very soon will argue, don't introduce modern plumbing into the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to do it the old-fashioned way. And at the same time, I have no doubt in my mind, and I'll be from the first people who will vote. Not that my vote will be, I'll even have an opportunity to vote, that let's get with the program. If Hashem gave us modern plumbing, and there's no issue to have modern plumbing, why not? Let's have modern plumbing in the Beis HaMikdash.
Close down the floor.
What's the problem? We'll bring in fire hydrants. We'll bring in everything that we possibly can use.
Hoses.
What? Hoses and all the technology. We'll have Wi-Fi. The special, well, you look at your smartphone, it'll be Beis HaMikdash. You can tap into the Beis HaMikdash Wi-Fi. I mean, what's going to be? No one knows what, but certainly everything's going to be a fight. That's for sure. Because the minhag is to fight.
You might have more people.
That's an old minhag.
You might need more efficiency.
What?
You might have a lot more people than before. So then you need.
You need
more
efficiency. You need people. Okay. So the question over here is in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a lot of water. Question is, when Chazal enacted the takanat Mayim becomes a rishon, did they also enact this in the Beis HaMikdash? Some, the Gemara presents two opinions. And one opinion says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because it's dangerous. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's so many things that are Kodesh. And if you're going to enact that every drop of water that comes in contact with Tumah becomes a Rishon, instead of it being either nothing, zero, because water l'chor is chulin, the water is not Kodesh. The water, the meat is Kodesh, not the water. So the water, most of the time, if water would come in contact with Tumma, most of the time, nothing. The water is Tahar. According to the Dinei Torah. But Chazal, when Mesakein established that if water comes in contact with Tumma, it becomes a Rishon. If you're going to maintain this takana inside the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and every drop of water that comes in contact with the piece of Tumma becomes a Rishon, that means you're going to be spreading a lot of Tumma in the Beis HaMikdash. Because min haTorah it's Tahar, and then that's it. It cannot contaminate anything further. It cannot be a source of harm to anything else. But if you say it's going to be a Rishon, then you're going to spread Tumah. The last thing Chazal would want to do is to make a takana in the Beis HaMikdash to cause Tumah to spread. That's not their goal. So this is the Machloikis. This is where it all starts. So over here on the screen, okay, okay, let me put this back on. Okay, I don't know why this it fell off. Scotch tape is not strong enough. We need duct tape to keep this poster hanging on the wall. I just have to go just spend the money and buy the new device already. I'm entitled to get an upgrade for free for this. So I should just go to the store already and get this over with. So we have something we can rely upon for the pictures. But until this thing boots up, I'm just going to read you the words. Heid Yosef ben Yoezer Yisraida al Mashkin based Mitbechai, the water, the liquid in the Beis Hamikdash, in the section of the Beis Hamikdash where they slaughter the Korbanos, which is Dochon, it's Tahar. There is no Takana. However, Rav Amar, now what does that mean? It's Dochon. So then the Gemara explains, Rav Amar, Dochon Mamish. Rav says, Tahar Lagamri. It falls on the Dinei Torah, Mayim is Chulin. Chulin cannot become anything more than a Sheni. Ushmul Amar Shmul says, no. They did not completely release. They did not completely, this thing's not going to work, I see. They did not completely undo the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. It's Dochan Militami Tumas Achedim. Avol Tumas Atzman Yeshlochen. There's some middle ground. Water does not have potential only in the Beis HaMikdash to contaminate something else, but if liquid came in contact with an item that is Tame, the liquid itself is Tame and must be removed. If you have a bucket of water and it came in contact with a piece of meat, let's say that was a Rishon, a drop of meat that was a Rishon fell into the bucket, which would make the bucket, let's say the piece of meat was a Sheni, let's better case, the piece of meat was a Sheni, and it fell into the bucket, so the liquid is Tame, and the liquid cannot be used. This entire bucket of water must be removed from the Beis HaMikdash, but it does not have potential to contaminate something else. According to the opinion that says that under ordinary circumstances, the liquid would become a Rishon and can easily contaminate anything that it comes in contact with, even Chulin. Everyone agrees that the liquid in the Beis HaMikdash does not have potential under ordinary circumstances to contaminate other food items. But, or even other utensils under certain cases, but the disagreement is the liquid itself Tameh and has to be removed? Or no, the liquid remains Tahar and can be used to continue to use the water for whatever they need for in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Amar, Dochon Mamish, Kosovar, why? Tumas Mashkin Drabanan, the Tumah of liquid becoming a Rishon, this that we go up a level. Even though according to the Torah, the liquid should only be a Shlishi. In a particular case, we make the liquid into a Rishon. This is a halacha that is purely Dirabanan. This is not from the Torah. V'chigaz Rabanan b'mashkin d'olma u'v'mashkin d'beis mitvachay eloi gazer. The Rabbanan never enacted this law inside the Beis HaMikdash. It was only meant to be enacted outside the Beis HaMikdash because they did not want to spread Tumah. Ushmul Amar Dochan Militami Tumas Achidim, Aval Tumas Atzman Yeshlochen, Kosovar Tumas Mashkin Atzman Deraisa. Litame Achidim Derabon. Now, here is an incredible Chiddush which we're not very familiar with. We don't hear about this because we don't learn too much Tumah V'Tahara in the Gemara. And even when you do learn Tumah V'Tahara, we don't focus on Rav. When Shmuel, we focus on Rav. Shmuel says an awesome Chiddush that liquids become a Rishon Min HaTorah. They become Tamei Min HaTorah. They become Tamei. The Takana of the Rabban was only that they can now contaminate other things. That is the Din de Rabbanan. So when the Rabbanan only have the power to remove Dine de Rabbanan, they do not have the power to remove Dine de Oiraisa. So they can say that this liquid in the Beis HaMikdash does not have the potential to contaminate something else, but the liquid itself cannot be used anymore. Question, really? The Gemara now continues to challenge Shmuel. Really? Are you telling me that Min HaTorah, a liquid, is Tameh? Is that really so? But what about Sefer Chagai? Everyone knows what it says in Sefer Chagai in Perek Beis, The pasuk says, "Toshma hein yisa ish besar kodesh bechnaf bigdoy." Chagai tested the kohanim. If a person has in his possession meat that's kodesh bechnaf bigdoy, so the meat. Okay, this is pasuk yud gimel. This is pasuk yud beis. Hein yisa ish besar kodesh bechnaf bigdoy. Vinoga biknafoy. So the piece of meat, it became tummy. How did the piece of meat become tummy? The piece of besar, what does it mean, kodesh? Tummy. Besar kodesh means, as we learned, meat that is tummy. Kodesh means designated. Designated. And in this instance, the word kodesh here is a word which really means meat that is tummy. Why is it tummy? Let's assume it's a nevela. It's an av hatoma. And it's wrapped up in a garment, which means the garment is a rishon. V'noga b'chnofoy el halechem. And then the garment, which is a rishon, touches bread. The bread is a sheni. The el hanozid. And the bread now touches porridge. So the porridge is a shalishi.
Right.
And now the way we learned the psukim according to the mitzudos, the porridge, which is a shalishi, touches one of three things. Either the el hayayin, or the el shemen, or the el kol machol hayikdash. Does the fourth item, does it become a revi'i? Vayanu hakoyhanim vayomuloi. V'yomer Rav, and Rav on the Gemara says, ishtabush kohane, they made a mistake. They made a mistake. Okay? So, in other words, it does become tame. Now, what do you mean? It's a liquid. Shemen and yayin are liquids. And if they are liquids, v'yamashkim eina mekabelim tuma madua toso. So if it's a liquid, what do we see from this? We see from this that liquids do become tame. Now, who's this a question on? I'm sorry, it's not a question on Shmuel. This is a challenge to Rav. Let's review. We have a Gemara. The Gemara says that the liquids in the Beis Hamikdash are tohor. What does Rav say that means? It means they are tohor legamre. There is absolutely no tuma. There is no tuma whatsoever when it comes to the liquids inside the Beis Hamikdash, because min hatoira, there is no such thing as a liquid becoming more than a sheni. And here we have a liquid in the form of yayin or shemen that is contracting tuma, that would be a revi'i. And this was the question posed to the kohanim. And the tradition is the kohanim got the wrong answer, that it is indeed tamei. Why? According to Rav, a liquid in the Beis HaMikdash does not contract tumah. So why is it tamei? So the Gemara says, it's not a kasha. This is not a question on Rav. The Gemara continues, midi hu taima elo l'Rav. Rav mashke beis mitbechaya tamei, avol mashke be mitbechaya shel hamizbeach, yayin l'nisachem v'shemen l'menachos mitamei. Beautiful answer. What was the question of Yecheskel? Does the yayin and shemen can become a revi'i? What kind of liquid is this? This is not water. This is oil. This is wine. And what kind of wine are we discussing? Just stam wine? Wine that you're going to drink together with your dinner? This is the yayin that was meant to be poured on the mizbeach as the nesachim. And the shemen that was meant to be used for the menachos. Everyone agrees that an object that is a chelek of a korban that goes on the mizbeach becomes tameh, can become a revi'i. of Minatoira, because it's not ordinary water. The takana, the issue that they argue about, right, the issue they're arguing about is water that is used for cleaning, to clean the innards of the animal, to clean the floor, to clean the mizbeach. Well, now that's where the water of chulin, that's the question. So outside of the day, something does she have water, water comes in contact with the tumah, becomes a rishon. But in the Beis HaMikdash, so there, no, it does not become a Rishon. It does not. And the dilemma is, what exactly does that mean? But this pasuk here in Sefer Chagai is irrelevant to this issue, because the pasuk here in Sefer Chagai is discussing the oil and the wine that is a chelik of the korban itself. So this certainly does have potential to become tamei. Okay? So it's not a raya. Okay, very good. Now let's go further. Gufa.
He's talking about nazid, the kol ma'achal. As nazid is not mizbeach, it's no mizbeach, it's regular food.
Okay, but it's true. It's true. It's regular. That might indeed be regular food. It's a nevela, a piece of a nevela, which certainly is not going to go on the mizbeach. The garment, and then the lechem, and then the nazid. But the last step, all of those items are not sacred. Those are mundane items. But now, those items are now making the final connection to Yayin and Shemen, which are they're planning to use for the Nesachim or the Menachos. Okay, so it's true that those things, the Nezid, what exactly are those things? Maybe you're right, those things are not Kodesh. But those things are all just objects that are preparing, setting the stage for the last item, the yayin and the shemen, which are kachim. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Gufa. Rav Amar Rav says ishtab. Now we come to that discussion. Now this becomes the Rashi, and this is the bread and butter. This is the meat and potatoes of the pasta we learned yesterday. Very important words of Gemara here. Rav Amar Ishtabush Kohane, Ushmul Amar Lo Ishtabush Kohane. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, he was a test. Chagai, he tested the Kohanim. He asked them two questions. And did they get the answer right, or did they get the answer wrong? This is a decision, because the Gemara, the Pasuk doesn't say. From the Pasukim, it's not clear if they were right or wrong. So the Gemara has a discussion.
Depends who you ask.
So Rav Amar Ishtabush Kohane, they made a mistake. Shmuel says Lo Ishtabush Kohane. Rav Amar Ishtabush Kohane. What was the mistake? This is the way we spent time learning it yesterday. The first pshat in Rashi, Revihi BaKodesh Bo Minayu. He asked them a question. When it comes to Kodesh, is there a principle called Revihi? We know that when it comes to Chulin, the last level of Tumah by Chulin is a Sheni. By Teruma, it could be a Shalishi. He asked them, is there such a principle called a Revi'i by Kodoshim? And they made a mistake. They said, no. Kodoshim is no different than Teruma. The Amrulei Tohar. And that's our whole discussion. You have Nevela is an Av. The garment is a Rishon. The bread is a sheni, the nizid, the porridge is a shlishi, and the shlishi is now touching one of three things. Do those three things become a revi'i, assuming those three things are kodesh? And they said no, and that's wrong, because by kodesh, the tradition is there is a revi'i. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Lo Ishtabushe Kohane. They did not make a mistake. Chamishi BaKodesh Bo Aminayu. Okay? The question was not a Revi'i. The question was a Chamishi. The Amrule Tohar. And they got the answer right. So the Gemara, you have to go back to the Pasuk and see, show me in the Pasuk how the question was a question of a Chamishi. How do you see that? So Bish, some of the Rav Hanan, the Sifat Pasuk says, according to Rav, we understand what the question was there exactly for Madre Goat. We go from the Nevela to the garment to the bread, to the nizid, and now we're going to the revi'i. Arba lechem, v'nozid, v'yayin, v'shem. The lechem is the rishon. The nozid, well, the Gemara here says yayin v'shem. Now here's the problem. The problem that we're now going to encounter here is that the words of the Gemara, the way the Gemara present themselves, is not consistent with the way the Mitzudois David explained. I'm brainwashed in understanding these psukim according to the Mitzudois David, who said a chiddush. He said a very big chiddush, that the last three are all one. The yayin, the shemen, and the kol machal is all one. And let's play along with that for now. Okay, so the first thing, but see, the Gemara doesn't really say that. The chsiv, it says, arba'o. It says four things in the pasuk. Lechem, nozid, v'yayin, v'shemen. What does that mean exactly? I mean, the yayin and the shemen is really one category, according to the Mitzudos David. And how could you conveniently leave out v'chol ma'achol, the next words of the pasuk? And what happened to the basar, kodesh, and the garment? So the words of the Gemara says four, and it counts four. So the Mitzudois, his perish, is very interesting. It fits very well. And obviously the Mitzudois David has struggled to understand the Gemara, and he's just overlooking the words of the Gemara, and he's just very loosely interpreting the Gemara with his interpretation. And let's, for the moment, be satisfied with that. Let's go further. Ela l'Shmuel chamisha min olay. Where's the fifth? Where is number five? That the question was number five. Ela l'Shmuel. Let me find the place over here. I lost the place for a moment. El Shmuel chamisha min olay. So the answer is Mik Siv v'noga bichnafoy. Does it say v'noga kinafoy? It says v'noga bichnafoy k'siv. Mashma shehalechem noga, the bread. Miksiv, does it say v'noga kinafoy? Does it say that the bread touched the garment? It doesn't say that. It says the bread touched is what is in the garment.
Is rishon.
What?
The garment is rishon.
The garment is a rishon. Right. That's what we're saying until now. But the question over here is miksiv v'noga kinafoy. Does it say that the kinaf, the garment, the bread touched the garment? V'noga bichnofoiksiv. Now here in the brackets it says mashma shehalechem noga bima shenoga bichnofo, which means the bread touched the meat itself. The bread touched, not the garment. The garment is irrelevant. The garment was just there just to hold the meat. But what happened over here was the bread touched the meat itself. And then you have to say that all of the items listed in the pasuk are not, the last three items are not separate items, not one item, they're separate. So no, I think what he means is like this. He learns the pasuk like this. The meat is an av hatoma. The meat happens to be in a garment. The garment is irrelevant. The bread comes along and touches the meat. So what is the bread? The bread is a rishon. Right? The bread is touching what is in the garment, not the garment. So the bread is a rishon. Then the nizid touches the bread. So the nizid is a sheni. Then, what's next? So now we're going to list them separately. Then, so the nizid, one more time. The meat is an av. Right. The lechem is a rishon. The nizid is a sheni. Right. The yayin is a shlishi. The shemen is a revi. The es kol machol is the chamishi. So according to this interpretation, we're going to take the items at the end of the pasuk, v'el hayayin, v'el hashemen, v'el kol machol, and we're going to take them, we're not going to say that, like the Mitzudas David said, that one of these three things touched the meat, but we're going to say that each one in turn touched the next. But if you're going to say that, the question is, then you have six items, not five items. You have meat, a garment, bread, nazid, yayin, shemen, ve'el kol ma'achol. Okay, it's six. Did I count correctly? Basar, knaf, lechem, nazid, yayin. No, it's even more. It's shemen. It's six. Ve'el kol ma'achol is seven. So we have to, ve'el kol ma'achol, I think that we're going to have to ignore for whatever reason. It's going to be seven. So we have to take out leave alone the El Kol Ma'achol, because that's what he did there before as well. He left out the El Kol Ma'achol. And now we go down one more notch. The Basar is the Av. The Lechem is the Rishon. The Nezid. No, the Knaf, we don't, I'm sorry, we have six items. I was right. We have six items. I'm sorry, we have six. Because we are not calculating the Knaf as one of the items. The Knaf is being discounted. So all we have here is the Besar Kodesh, which is touched by the Lechem. So the Lechem becomes a Rishon. The Nazir is a Sheni. The Yain is the Shlishi. The Shemen, the Besar Kodesh is the Av. Okay, the Besar Kodesh is the Av. And the Besar Kodesh touches the Lechem, which is the Rishon. And the Lechem touches the Nazir, which is the Sheni. And the Yayin becomes the Shlishi. The Shemen becomes the Revi'i. And the Eskol Machol is the Shishi. Okay, so when we take away, there are a total of seven words in this pasuk. What we're doing though is we are removing one of the words. The kanaf is irrelevant. The kanaf just goes together with the meat. The kanaf is there just to hold the meat, because you don't hold meat in your bare hands. It's not nice. So we're dealing with the basar. And the basar is the av. And we have five more items. So the question now is there something called a chamishi b'tumah? And to that the Kohanim said, no, there is no such thing as a chamishi b'tumah. And they are correct. That is the way he gives the answer. So Shmuel lo shav lechani chamish boi minei v'amru leitar bishop l'rab hain l'siv arba lechem u'nezid yayin v'shemen. Okay, that, those four words, we have to go back to the parish of the Mitzudas David. In order to understand in that fashion, we have to go to the Mitzudas David and learn that the last tree is going to be one item. Elo l'shmul chamishim nole. So he's really making two changes. He's saying that the last three items are all separate items, one touching the next. And also we have to say, miksa v'naga kinafoi. It doesn't say that the kinaf touched the bread. V'naga bichnafoi. Ksiv mashma shalechem noga bima shenoga bichnafoi. It touched this, that was Noga Bichnafo. Oh, wait. No, you know what? I made a mistake. Mamash, we're going to go like the Mitzudah starts. I made a mistake. Shalechem Noga. Okay, I made a mistake. Let's go back to the Mitzudah. That's right. He's eating.
It doesn't very clear.
Okay, I made a mistake. Let's go back to the Mitzudas. Like, let's learn like the Mitzudas.
Yeah.
The last three are one item. So I told you I made a mistake. I thought it meant that the bread touched what's inside the garment. No. The garment is necessary. But the letter Beis means there's another item besides the garment, which is anonymous. It's anonymous. Which means now we can stay with the Mitzudas Pshat, which means like this, even though that's not really what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara is still a little bit doichik, but at least we'll be consistent. And that is, what do we have here? We have the meat, the piece of meat is an Av HaTumah. The piece of meat is touching a garment. the garment becomes a rishon. Now it says now biknafoi, the biknaf of the base connotes that the garment touched something else. What did it touch? The mash naga biknaf.
So the lechem is sheni.
So the lechem is a wait, the lechem. So
biknafo is in knafo. Shehu rishon letum'ah naga el ha'lechem v'na'asayim ken sheni, the lechem.
There's another...
Ve'atah lomar ha'lechem na'asah im ken shlishi, im ha'lechem, ha'lechem naga ba'nazid, az ha'nazid shlishi, ve'el ha'yayin, ve'atah lomar ha'nazid naga ba'yayin, v'na'asayim ken revi'i, ve'el ha'shemen, ve'atah lomar o,
oh, that's the mitzudos. Yayin, shemen, the machla are equal. That's what the mitzudos David said. The three. Let's continue with that. But let's explain. How does he answer the question? There are not four things. There's another item that's anonymous. The piece of meat is an avatoma. The piece of meat touches the garment. The garment becomes a rishon. The garment touches something else, which we do not have listed in the pasuk, an anonymous object. Anonymous. It touches something else, and that thing that it touches becomes a sheni. What did it touch? Doesn't say. Doesn't say what it, but it's, because it says, it does not say, v'noga kinofoi, v'noga biknofoi. And the Gemara's deek is that the bread didn't touch the kinaf, the bread touched an object that touched the kinaf, which gives us another level. So now the bread is a shalishi. The bread touches the porridge, the nizid, which makes the porridge into a revi'i. And now the nizid touches one of three things. Either it touches the yayin, or the shemen, or kol ma'achol. Question is, does the yayin or the shemen or the kol machol become a chamishi? So for now we're gonna preserve the approach of the Mitzudos David. What's very critical about the Mitzudos David is that he tells us the last three items in this list are a group, and it means one or the other. That's not part of the sequence. It's one or the other. So if you take everything that we have in the pasuk, the simple understanding is there was a question, is there something called a revi'i? Because we start off with an avatoma, which is the piece of meat. We then go to a rishon, which is the garment. From the garment, we go to the bread, which is a sheni. And then the bread touches the nozid, which is a shlishi. So we're dealing with a shlishi, and the shlishi is touching one of three things. And the question is, do one of those three things become a revi'i? So this is a raya to the shita of Rav. They made a mistake, because it's in Shulchan Aruch Ha'osit that there's something called a revi'i when it comes to Kadoshim. Shmuel says they did not make a mistake. How could you say they did not make a mistake? It's clear they made a mistake. No, you don't know how to read the pasuk. It doesn't say that the bread touched the kinaf. It says the bread touched biknafoi. And the understanding of that word biknafoi means the garment touched something else, which is not listed in the pasuk. And that other item that's not listed, it then went and touched the bread, which touched the nozid. And now, the question is, what's going to be regarding the yayin or the shemen or the kol machol? And the question now becomes a question, is there something called a chamishi? Okay, so this is how we're going
to
learn.
According to the Mitzvah David, the Chag Yanovi was like tricking them. He was asking them questions. He wasn't explaining it.
The words aren't clear.
So how does he expect the Kahanim to answer the right answer there?
You ask a very good question. You ask a very good question. You have to understand, you have to assume that this is a general question. A general question you can ask all across the board, that when the psukim record statements that were made by the prophets to people is it a literal quotation, word for word, or what is recorded is a synopsis? It's a synopsis, and we have to assume, we have to figure out exactly what the whole conversation was. We're not going to go right over here, a long speech. And we have to assume they fully understood the question with every detail. And when it was recorded for posterity, it was written b'kitzur. So we're the ones that are confused, but they were not confused. You're right.
That's why we're confused. Yeah, that's why you see here. I'm following in the Gemara here. I opened up a Pesachim, and the Rashi is 20 lines on this, and there's a nice Tosus here that explained like what you just said now.
That's the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos, but that's right. The problem is
just explained is Tosus over here.
Problem though is Tosus is not taking a literal translation of the Gemara.
Right.
Because the Gemara says it Bishlai Malarav. There are four. And the Gemara lists four. Lechem, Nozid, Yayin, and Shemen. According to the Mitsudos David, the words of the Gemara don't make any sense. There's no way you can really reconcile with what we just said with a literal reading of the Gemara. And that is why Rashi, obviously over there, struggles to give you a very different interpretation. Tosfos is not happy with that interpretation. And Tosfos is willing to sacrifice the literal nature of the Gemara in order to provide an interpretation which is more, which fits with the concepts that we are dealing with. But Tosfos is sacrificing the Girsa, because the Girsa of the Gemara does not really fit well with the parish of the Mitsudos David. Okay, but right now, for the sake of simplicity, we're just going to work on it. We're going to come across Rashi in a few moments. The other Mefarshim, they deal with Rashi. But right now, that's how we're learning Shana the Gemara. So let's review. Let's at least come away with something today. What have we done over here? We are over here a Pasuk. The Pasuk mentions seven items. Seven things are listed. We start with a piece of meat, and then we go to a garment, then we go to a piece of bread, then we go to nozid, porridge, and then we move to yayin, then to shemen, and then to kol ma'achol. Seven items. That's the first yisod we have to clarify. Number two, when it says here besar kodesh, everyone is on the same page. It doesn't mean holy; it means tamei. Okay, that's a very important yisod. The next variable in this topic of discussion is when it says that the bread touches the kenaf. This is a grammatical difficulty in the pasuk. It says bikenaf, bikenaf, which opens up the possibility that there are not seven items, there are eight items in the pasuk. Because if you want to say bikenaf, you want to say is that the meat touched the garment, and the garment touched something. What did it touch? Who knows? And then that item continues the chain by touching the bread. That's a variable. Are we going to make that diag, yes or no? And then we have the dilemma. Rav and Shmuel, did the Kohanim, did they make a mistake, or did the Kohanim get an A on the course? And then we know the halach is a given. There is something called a revi'i in Kodesh, but there is no such thing as a chamishi b'Kodesh. How do we put together all these pieces of the puzzle? So the Mitsudas David, which Ramayevsky has taught us, is really what Tosfos says in Masechtas Psachim Dav Yud Zayin, Tezayin Yud Zayin. It says there is that the answer to make sense out of this whole piece, this puzzle, is to say a very big chiddush, which Mr. Neumann also pointed out is very misleading. Is that when it says in this pasuk the el hayayin, the el shemen, the el kol ma'achol, it's not a chain. It's one item. It's the gemar. There's yayin or shemen or machal.
I have a proof for this from the pasuk.
Yes.
It said, "V'nagabichnafo el ha-lechem ha-nazi ha-yayin." From then on, there's no ha.
Very good. It doesn't say the hey ha-yidia. Very good. It doesn't say the hey ha-yidia.
In what word?
In the word shemen. V'yel shemen v'yel kol machal. So because there's no hey ha-yidia, it's one group. Okay, it's very good.
Yain, shemen, the machal is a group. That's why there's no
hay by the shemen and by the machal.
That's it.
Right. Very good. Excellent. Fantastic. You see? There's no hay, so therefore it's one group. The only difficulty with this...
And also, why these items, if they're separate, there's just no... Logic.
What's the significance, the logic of these items? Well, okay, I don't know. Why these items? The nizid? What's the nizid? What's the imaginary food that it touched? What's all this about? Everything, this works out very well. Okay, so Kalman, he gave us the answer of why there's only a hey haidi by the hayayin, but there is no hey haidi by the shemen and by the kol, that's called machol, which indicates it's part of a group. Right. The only real major problem, besides the mystery of why we are, what's going on over here in the big picture, is the Gemara doesn't really, the words of the Gemara don't really fit. Because the Gemara says there are four things. And what are the four things? Lechem, nozid, yayin, and shemen. Now that does not fit according to the Mitzudos David. And obviously that's a different approach. And we'll get to that Bli Neder later. But right now we're going with Tosfos, and we've answered the mystery, and we have a clarity in what here is going on. There's a Machloikis, Rav, and Shmuel. They were tested. Did they make a mistake? They were tested. If they answered, there is no Tumah. If their answer was in response to a question of was there a Revi'i, then they were mistaken. If their response was in regard to a question, is there a chamishi, then they were correct. I remember someone once went to listened to a class. They wanted to send their child to a yeshiva. They wanted to figure out which is the right yeshiva for their child. And they sat in on different schools. The principals, they let them go into the parents. Can you imagine the teacher? I'm sure the teacher wasn't very happy to have parents come in and listen to the class, to test the teacher, to see if the teacher is a good teacher, and he's deserving that these parents shall send them their little kaddishal. So the parents, one of the parents, he told me this, they were very impressed. What were they very impressed? The Rebbe asked the kids a question, and he called upon a child, one of the kids, and he gave an answer. It was the wrong answer. So the Rebbe said, that's an excellent answer to a different question. So instead of telling the kid that you're an idiot, it's an excellent answer to a different question. So here the Kohanim said, Tohar. That's an excellent answer to a different question. If the question was a Chamishi, then you're right. But if the question is Revi'i, you're wrong. You're wrong. And that's the dilemma. And how do we upgrade from the dilemma between Rav and Shmuel to upgrade from Chamishi, from Revi'i to Chamishi? It's the Beis, the letter Beis. V'noga b'chnofoi el halechem. According to Shmuel, the Beis of b'chnofoi is here to teach. The pasuk should really say v'noga kinofoi el halechem. The garment touched the bread. It doesn't say that. Vinoga bichnofoi el halechem, which has the connotation that the lechem touched the object that touched the knaf. Vinoga bimashinoga hakonaf.
Of course, you keep using the sheretz as an example. That's what they keep saying. That there was a sheretz there.
Yeah, but the sheretz would be an avat tumah in of itself.
Right, it can't be. I mean, that's the point they're making. It's going back and extra.
It can't, you know, but it can't be a sheretz because if the sheretz
becomes an avat tumah.
Right, so we're starting, the meat itself is the avat tumah, and the garment is a rishon, and then the garment is touching a food, which becomes a sheni, and that food is now touching the lechem, which becomes a shalishi. And the lechem touches the nozid, which becomes a revi'i. And now the revi'i is going to touch one of three things. So that's how we explain machlokes Rav Ushmuel. Okay, let's go further. few but more.
We learn from here that when a teacher asks a question, he has to make it very good question and very clear, because otherwise it's a mess. A good question is half an answer.
Yeah, that's true. I used to teach in college programming courses. It was torture. Paperwork was just out of this world. I used to give an exam.
Hashem told him, "Shana et haKohanim Torah lemo." Hashem told him exactly what to ask. That's what
Torah lemo. Okay,
it's not Haggai is the question. Hashem told him exactly lemo, exactly.
Okay, so let's go a little bit further. So we have over here. So this is the dilemma. So now the Gemara says, Toshma. Okay, so Toshma. Now the Gemara brings another proof. Vayomer Chagai. Okay, I'm reading the Gemara further. Vayomer Chagai, Toshma. Okay, we're going now to another proof. So a few more minutes. Vayomer Chagai. Im Yigad Tmei Nefesh B'chol Eile Hayitmo. Then came the next question. We'll just start a little bit. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel is a new question. Yud Gimel, we are substituting the piece of meat for a person who has come in contact with the dead. Okay, so after we finish Pasuk Yud Beis, which we've explained two different ways, we're using the approach of the Mitzvos, we come to Pasuk Yud Gimel. And now, im yigat tmei nefesh b'chol eila hayitma. So what's the issue over here? Vayanu ha-koyhanim vayomu yitma, yeah! Now what does it mean over there? Be'esh lo'im olushmul midahoch lo'i ishtabush, hosam nami lo'i ishtabush. According to Shmuel, if they got the answer right in Pasuk Yud Beis, we are assuming they got the answer right in Pasuk Yud Gimel as well. Rav says that they got the answer wrong in Pasuk Yud Beis, but they got the answer right in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now we have to first explain what exactly was the question in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now, seemingly, Pasuk Yud Gimel is exactly the same. Now, what do I mean is exactly the same? Again, we have these different ways to understand. This is what the Gemara really means to say. Is in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Pasuk Yud Beis, what's the starting point? The starting point is a piece of meat that's a nevela. A piece of meat that's a nevela is an av hatuma. And now we go through the whole process. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, it's the same thing. What's the starting point? The starting point is Tmei Nefesh, a person who has come in contact with the dead. The dead is Avi Avois, the person is an Av. And now continue the process. The person touches a garment, and the garment touches something else, and that something else touches bread, and that bread touches Nozid. And the nazid touches either yayin, shemen, or machol. It's exactly the same question. Okay, we already learned the mitzvah stuff yesterday, which made it into another level. But if you just take the pasuk at face value, on a very simple level, you read the pasuk im yigat tmei nefesh b'chol eile, it's ditto. We're just copying the same thing, and instead of the source being nevela, the source is another form, variety of an av hatoma, a tmei nefesh. There are many different types of examples of objects which have the status of an av hatoma. There is a person who came in contact with the dead, there is a nevela, there is a sheretz, a dead sheretz, that's not a nevela, that's a different category in and of itself, and there is an Evan Menuga. You have a stone that came from a bias that had saras. And there's a nida, and there's a yoledes, and there's a zav, a zava. There are so many different examples of objects and people that have the status of an avatoma, and we're just going to substitute the piece of meat that's an avatama for one for here's another example. So he's just repeating the question.
But, Rabbi, can I ask a question there? How many Kahanim were asked this question? 100?
It doesn't say.
They all answered correctly.
Maybe they took a vote. You're asking a very good question. Well, maybe he's speaking to the leadership. Obviously, he's speaking to the teachers. He's calling in the people that are in charge of the education of the Kohanim and reviewing the curriculum. But let me see the textbook. Obviously, he's asking the people that are influential in the halacha, the people in charge. He wants to see the textbook. He wants to see the curriculum. What are you teaching the Kohanim? So that's the symbol. So the more is the question, what's going on in the next pasuk? And the Gemara then have to answer that, no, the second pasuk is a different question. Let's see. So, very beautiful answer. Exactly what we said. When it came, they did not know there's something called a revihi, according to Rav, when the source is a sheretz. Because in their minds, the contamination of a sheretz is weak. So even though it's true, so it's such a lumdis, you have such a lumdis, mamash, you need to be like Rabbi Chaim, such a lumdis. Their lumdis was that the source, when the ikar af is a sheretz, so when it trickles down to the level of revi'i, tahar. But when the av, the ikar tuma is tmei meis, that's a potent type of tuma. That's like the real deal, the real McCoy. So when it trickles down to a revi'i, tamei. That's the first answer of the Gemara, the mistake, exactly. The question, Pasuk Yudbeis, Yudgimel, is exactly the same. The mistake, according to Rav and Pasuk Yudbeis, and there was no mistake in Pasuk Yudgimel, was because they made a mistake in appreciating the depth of Tumah in Sherotz, in Nevela. Even though they fully recognized that in Tmei Meis, they recognize that Tmei Meis does have more potency. And this is very important. See, these little diyukim over here are very, very important because Chagai is really speaking to us. And the Kohanim, they represent us. The Kohanim, they're like the lay, the heart of the people. And he's coming to focus on, to pinpoint, when you're going forward in Golos, you're making a fundamental mistake. There's an error taking place. And when you can find what the error is, that error, it does not just an error in halacha. That error represents hashkafa. It represents an outlook on life. And according to the Gemara's first answer, the people, you have to, don't look at it just in matter of halacha, you look at it in the hashkafa. In life, we know that there are certain things you stay away from. There are certain red lines you don't cross. You don't intermarriage is a red line. Shabbos, Chil Shabbos is a red line. There are certain things you don't cross. You cross the red line, you're out. And then there are certain areas which, in society, among Orthodox Jews, alright, you know, we look the other way. We let people get away with a lot of things and we don't make a macha. He's saying over here, according to the Gemara's first answer, Chagai is giving them Musar. He's asking them two questions. And he catches their mistake. And the next pasuk goes on to say, we really can appreciate this unless we really learn the next pasuk. Because the next pasuk says, Vayan Chagai Vayoymer, Kein Ha'om Hazeh, V'chein Ha'goy Hazeh Lefonayinu Hashem. That's exactly the problem. This mistake in Halacha is the mistake in Hashkafa. And that's why it's critical to appreciate there are so many different variations of what's going on, different opinions in the Gemara. And according to the Gemara's first answer, we already have a little bit of a taste. You, Klal Yisrael, you understand Tumas Meis. Very good. But you're making a mistake that there are other things that are going to destroy you, and you don't appreciate how dangerous they are. And that's Tumas Nevela. Now, how does that translate in into Hashkafa? So maybe you can say, Kashrus. Maybe you can say, is that, what's Nevela? Nevela is Kashrus. The meat's not so kosher. You don't have to have glatt kosher. You have regular kosher. Purdue. Purdue is really bad. Hebrew National. Hebrew National is not so bad. They have a Heksher. They have a Heksher, Hebrew National. Not so bad. So how come no one over here in this virtual room eats Hebrew National? How come? It's not up to your standards. Because the things they do in Hebrew National obviously do not, I mean, Mayeski can probably tell us, give us a whole share on this, do not meet the standards of people. So people in their eyes, I'm just telling you, we're talking about one idea. Tamei Nefesh, to contaminate your soul by marrying a non-Jew, that's off limits. But in Golos, Kashrus, as we're going forward, it's not so important. It's not so important that we should invest our resources in Kashrus. As long as we don't intermarry, as long as we don't violate Mimitamid the Neshama by bringing in non-Jewish blood into the Neshama. But what goes in our mouth, Nevela, the contamination, the danger as it trickles down throughout the generations, from the first generation to the second generation to the third generation to the fourth generation, big deal, tahar, it's not so terrible. Chagai says that's a big mistake. Even though you think now it doesn't make a difference, we're dealing over here with generations trickling down. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Cain, Ha'om Hazeh, that's a terrible mistake. Even small things that you may not appreciate now, if you're not going to be nizhar, you're not going to be meticulous, it's going to come back to haunt you and destroy Klal Yisrael. Okay, you have to look at the picture and the big things. I was talking to Rav Simcha Soloveitchik recently, Shlita, and he told me he's very proud of, did I tell you this yesterday? I don't even remember. He's very proud of his lineage. Okay, very, very, very proud, and he told me what, and he told me what is the uniqueness about the Soloveitchik heritage. It's only they have this koyach to bring out agoda mitoy halacha. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was famous for this. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik from Boston, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, he had a koyach to say drush. Out of a halacha. You open up Shulchan Aruch and you read a halacha, a simple halacha which has nothing to do with anything, and in the halacha he can extract an ethical teaching. Hashkafa of Yadus. Most of the darshanim, the Gedolei HaDarshanim now of the older generations, the drush has nothing to do with halacha. There's halacha and there's agoda. Hailuchud v'hailuchud. They don't mix. You want to say an inspirational shir, you have a story, you have a divrei, I take a gemara, an agada to gemara, and you read the agada to gemara that talks about your shemayim, and talks about brilliant ideas. But it's not rooted in a halacha that would, out of nowhere. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, he was able to go take a halacha, any halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and show you in the halacha Hashkafa. And he told me it's not Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik only, it's not him, it's in his blood. It comes from his grandfather, his great-grandfather. They gave me examples of the yichus of the mishpacha. They had this incredible mind to do this, koyach to do this. And that midah is absolutely necessary, critical, when you read these psukim here in Chagai, when he's talking to Klal Yisrael, and he's speaking to the Kohanim, and he's challenging them with halacha, halacha. Who learns this stuff? A Revi, a Chamishi, Tumas Meis, Tumas Nevela, Tumas Sheretz, Mayim, liquid is Dochein. Who learns this? This is halacha. This is not for the faint of heart. This is very technical halacha. And yet Chagai says, and yet Chagai says, and yet Chagai says here that this is Hain B'nei Yisrael. This is a chelek, this halacha, in this halacha is the essence of the future destiny of Klal Yisrael. You have to see in halacha deep matters of hashkaf. Okay, it's late, we're going to stop over here, take a very short break, and then we'll do some chumash.
The Barbanel says that he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to test them, but not exactly what to say.